مفتي صاحب السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته أهلا وسهلا ومرحبا. Hope you are in the best of health, مفتي صاحب, and your program went well. Allah Ta'ala grant you ajri azim. مفتي صاحب, the platform is yours.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بارك الله فيكم وسليم كريم. جزاك الله خيرا to our technicians, brother Junaid Khan and brother Zakaria. نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم. أما بعد, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. سبحانك لا انبت سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. All praise due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Today is the 30th of Ramadan Mubarak 1445 here in South Africa. Today, with the grace and mercy of Almighty Allah Jalla Wala, we focus on chapter number 23, and that is Surah Mu'minun, and the beginning of the 18th juz, the 18th supara. After all these qualities, if a person has inculcated and imbued himself with these qualities, Almighty Allah Jalla Wala knows human nature. What will we get and receive, O Almighty Allah Jalla Wala? So Almighty Allah says, أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْوَارِثُونَ الَّذِينَ يَرِثُونَ الْفِرْدَوْسَ هُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ. Those are the people they'll inherit. Now when you inherit, you never worked for it really. So a baby inherits, so what did that baby now work for? The baby who is still not born, still an unborn baby in Islam, he or she also inherits. So yeah, Almighty Allah Jalla Wala uses the word warithun, you will inherit this Jannat al-Firdaus. But speaking, that is not really your efforts. It is only the grace and mercy of Almighty Allah Jalla Wala that Allah through His grace, mercy, benevolence grant us Jannat al-Firdaus, and that is the unanimous belief of the Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, and that we say that Almighty Allah Jalla Wala grants us this Jannat al-Firdaus. Our actions and righteous deeds are the sabab-e-zahiri, are the superficial means. But when a person passes away with Iman and Islam, and he or she enters Jannat al-Firdaus, it is the benevolence, the grace and mercy of Almighty Allah. Hence, Almighty Allah Jalla Wala teaches us, الَّذِينَ يَرِثُونَ الْفِرْدَوْسِ, that they are those people that Almighty Allah will let them inherit for Firdaus. So the question arises, what is Firdaus? The hadith is mentioned in Mishkat Sharif. He, Habibuna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said that what you should do, Salullaha al-Firdaus, fa'innaha a'laha wa'awsatuha, that Jannat al-Firdaus is the supreme portion of Jannah and the cream of the crop, one of the best places. So imagine if we inculcate within ourselves these qualities, then inshallah, Allah will grant us Jannat al-Firdaus. Therefore, when we make dua, do not ask Allah only for Jannah. It's still Ramadan here. Yeah? So remember in South Africa, so ask Allah, Allahumma inna nas'aluka Jannat al-Firdaus. And in Muslim Sharif, Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told the Sahabiya, your son is in al-Firdaus al-A'la. So we can say, Allah grant us Jannat al-Firdaus al-A'la. Similarly, for our marhumin, our deceased, our parents, our near and dear ones, children, siblings, whoever passed away, so we make dua for them. Jannah, Jannat al-Firdaus, Jannat al-Firdaus al-A'la. So all that is acceptable, so we should ask for the best. And once a person enters there, hum fiha khalidun, then they are the ones who will remain and dwell there in Jannat al-Firdaus forever, everlasting bliss, happiness, prosperity. Chapter number 23, verses number 10 and 11. So mashallah, we have concluded the lesson till where we're supposed to go. Let us now turn the pages. I'm here in Komatipur, and here where I am for 3 days and more than 3 days. Few houses here, they don't have electricity and power. You know, DC, direct current, AC, alternate current, and ANC, and no current. So, mashallah, they got the generator on. It's making a big noise, but anyway, we slept also nicely. We were so tired, and we carry on with our life, and alhamdulillah, things go our way, alhamdulillah. Things don't go our way, alhamdulillah, ala kulli hal. We praise Almighty Allah, Jalla wala, in all cases and in all circumstances. So that is what Islam teaches us, the hadith in Tirmidhi. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Let us give you the latest news, views, interviews, locally, nationally, internationally. Gaza genocide, GG. Day number 187, today Wednesday, that is day number 187. So Bibi Netanyahu, the war criminal, and remember the butcher of Gaza, according to them, in the Haaretz, whenever elections take place this year, or whenever, it will be this year, it seems, so he'll be losing the elections very, very badly. He's one of the most hated people and despised people on the face of this earth, the harami and murderer. He needs to go to jail, and if I had it my way, we would hang him in public, the harami. U.S. aid to Israel should be cut. Many of the people now, politicians, are saying that we can't be giving unconditional aid and billions of dollars to Israel. All the evidence is there, and only a blind person will say to the contrary. So therefore, we need to rethink our policy strategy towards Israel. So this now is increasing among the senators, among the people in Congress and politicians and so forth. Turkey, Erdogan woke up a little bit. He plays always a double role. So remember that now Turkey restricts 54 products. So they've liked, you know, sanctioned Israel on 54 products and said that we will not supply you this and so forth. So Israel said that they will retaliate as well and so forth. Now listen to this one. This is a bit of a shocker for me and you. France, they suggest that there should be sanctions applied against Israel. So at least they spoke truth, whether it's from the heart or whether it's from the tip of the tongue, that only Allah knows. But it's a big statement for one of the Western countries who are anti-Islam and Muslim. And they said that no, we should be really thinking of applying sanctions on Israel. All this you will find, you must remember, in Haaretz and in their newspapers, the Israeli newspapers and so forth. Now listen to this one here. I can only call him a donkey. That's the only word I could find. And Almighty Allah teaches us in the Quran, certain people, you have to call them donkeys. Chapter 62, Suratul Jumu'ah, verse number 5, you have the rabbis and you have the priests in the Jewish faith, the scholars, and they don't practice on the Torah. So Almighty Allah states, chapter 62, verse 5, Kamasalil Himari Yahmilu Asfara. Their example is like donkeys carrying big, big encyclopedias. The Pentagon's chief, imagine the biggest guy there, says that there is no evidence of genocide in Gaza. Are you a donkey or what? So you must remember that. So that is how they play the game, you must remember. The Jutlas, the Haramis, Israel will bribe them up, give them millions, and you must speak what we tell you to do. Some good news, mashallah, our brother Anwar Peer, Yeah, or Bob, as they call him. So he's back in South Africa. He contacted us last night, and he seems to be in healthy spirits. So it was late, so I received a message from him. So Allah Jalla Wala brought him back in time for Eid. So mashallah, we're happy for you, our brother Anwar Peer. We're making dua for you and your family. Allah Jalla Wala always keep you and keep all of us under his hifazat and protection. So maybe I should interview you what exactly happened there in that part of the world. So at least you visited some places, Bob, which we never visited, the jails or prisons there in Saudi. But Allah protect us anyway. So Zuma, JZ, he can participate in the elections. You know South Africa, what it is. South Africa is a big circus, you must remember. A comedy, you must remember. So now the court said, you got the green light. So now he'll be participating, not with ANC, under the banner of MK. You will see his smile everywhere, you know. So that to JZ, the fire, if you know about him, when they were in Robben Island, he passed in a 2 and a 3 or something. But he became the president of South Africa. So I don't think he went to high school and what have you. Okay, nevertheless, but there they had enough time to kill, you know, in Robben Island. So they had to play chess. And Zuma was the person, the champion there. So he could beat all of them. Whether it was Katrada or Mandela or Sisulu or whoever, Zuma was beating them. So yeah, also he's beating the courts also. That's Zuma. I didn't say chess is permissible. I'm just telling you what happened and so forth. Now listen to our president. We know about his pala-pala story. Now let's go to the deputy president, Mashatili, or Mashatile, whatever his name is. He says, can you believe such a fairy tale story? He's, I just told you about Kumatiput now. So you must remember, he says, by end of the year, we are now in April. He say, I promise you. He say, I know you won't believe me, but I promise you, from end of the year, there won't be any load shedding in South Africa. So this is what I read in tweet. You must always read between the lines. So end of May, there'll be elections. ANC will win, but we're hoping that they'll come less than 50%. To vote for the DA is haram, is a vote for genocide. So we want to bring them less than 50% in the Western Cape, right? So he says that this is what you must read now. So Ramaphosa will remain the president, and then after that he might retire or what, or he might hand over the reins to him, to Mashatile, and Mashatile might take over or what have you. So now it's his chance to be. You know how things work in politics. I'm not saying that this is going to happen. I say there's a possibility of that and so forth. But we don't believe you that load shedding was end. Yesterday, I was there in Barberton, and we left, you know, at around 3:45. My brother, Ahmed Gora, Joseph, Allah reward him, reward his family, they went out of their way. And mashallah, we came here to Malalan, 4:45, exactly Azan time, 5 o'clock, Asr Jamaat. And they read namaz and they went back, mashallah, the youngsters performing Taraweeh, one from Medina, Hafiz Ibrahim, and so forth and so on. So I met them, the Imam and the Muazzin and all of them. We had a nice program, mashallah, from Asr to Maghrib, very well attended with Allah's help. And then we had supper there by our brother Yaqub, you know, Yaqub Manjra. So Haji Yaqub Manjra, mashallah, he don't invite 1-2 people, he invited so many people, mashallah. So Allah reward him and his family, his sons and all of them. And then was now Isha time. So after that was, you know, Alam Tara Taraweeh, you see. So then I gave a talk for about 1 hour or so, or 45 minutes, 50 minutes, something like that. I finished up 9:30. From there, Malalan to Kumatiput is 30 minutes. So exactly 10 o'clock, we arrived there. So I told our brother Hafiz Hussein, switch on the news, I want to hear SAFM. So that's why I gave you the story. So it was one nice story here for you to listen. So there's a Christian pastor, priest. So somebody stole in his house or his church or what. So he caught him. This pastor, Christian priest, caught the crook. He said, I can't waste time, you understand, with this South African police and whatever. Let me give this guy some Islamic justice. But this is not how Islam works. In Islam, there must be due process. You can't basically take the law into your own hands. He, the pastor, and the message was mentioned about Witbank, you know. So that site there, you know, next to Middelburg and all those places, right? So he got him the crook and he amputated his hand. So I told the brothers, maybe he learned something about Islam, you know. But now they charged him, and I think they're going to sentence him. I would like to meet that pastor. What you were doing? You should become a Muslim. You see that you caught him and you cut his hand off. So that is what they did. You must remember this. Okay, then few announcements we got here. So these are all our issues that I had to mention. Number one announcement is this, that is haram for ladies to go to Eidgah. I'm telling you all this 100 times and according to all 4 schools. In Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's time, Sahaba time, even if ladies went, the conditions were fulfilled. In this day, at this age, none of the conditions are fulfilled. Idha fatal shartu fatal mashrut. I give you one example. Put 100 ladies. 100 is just an example. Now, whether you're celebrating Eid today, tomorrow, because the world, 80-90% are celebrating Eid today, Wednesday. My watch also is showing here, first show what. So anyway, so we must remember that. So you go to the Eidgah as a lady today, tomorrow. You will wear your best clothes. You will use your lipstick, dipstick, and you will use, you understand, makeup. And you know, you all know all these things better than me. So what did the Quran say and Hadith say? وَقَرْنَ فِي بُيُوتِكُنَّ Women, you must stay in your homes. So chapter 33, verse 33. Only if there's a real need, then you leave from there. Second one, the hadith, authentic, sahih hadith in Tirmidhi. إِذَا خَرَجَتِ الْمَرْأَى When a woman leaves the home, وَهِيَ مُتَعَتِّرَى And she applies perfume, makeup, lipstick, dipstick, all. فَمَرَّتْ بِمَجْلِسِ كَذَا وَكَذَا She passes the man, she can see the man can see her. That exactly doesn't happen in the Eidgah. Nobody can say no. فَهِيَ زَانِيَا He, Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is saying she is an adulteress, a woman of loose morals, a loose lady. That is what the meaning is, whether you like or not. And it's authentic hadith. So don't fool yourself. Eid Salat is not compulsory upon women according to all 4 schools. And if anybody says it's compulsory, show me where the references. So we must be very, very clear that we follow Quran Sharif, we follow the Sunnah Mubarakah, we follow the beloved Sahaba, we love the Awliyaullah, and we follow in Masail and Fatawa and Verdicts, the 4 schools of thought. That in a nutshell is your Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah. So we should know this. Now yesterday when they came to fetch me there, our Hafiz Muhammad and Hafiz Mus'ab and all of them, Damat Barakat to whom they from Komati, and they studying there in the Dajjal. So the Imam came word, Maulana Muhammad Zakaria Musa. So first time I'm meeting him, so I asked him, Maulana, from where are you? He said, originally Peter Marisburg. So I told him, I heard you're not married. He said, yes, I'm not married. I say, I'm going to announce on the radio that Maulana Muhammad Zakaria Musa, he studied Hifz Day in Dajjal and he qualified there in Azadwal. So you get the idea of his background and he's looking for a wife. Hanafi, Shafi, Maliki, Hanbali. But he told me that, no, my mother will have the final say. So you ladies and your parents were interested, so you must contact the Maulana here in Komatipur. Then, before we entered Komatipur last night, you must all listen to this. وَالْحَقُّ أَحَقُّ أَيُّتَّبَى In life, we don't have to curry favor with people, organizations, government, and politicians. So it was around 10:15, some brother phoned me. They said, Mufti AK, I said, G. Said, I want to discuss an issue with you. I said, yes, speak, no problem, I'm traveling. We're coming towards Komatipur. He said, you know, 4 or 5 people, something. He said, that family saw the moon. I said, yeah, they played the clip for me there in Malalan between Maghrib and Isha. And they asked me, I said, no, the ulama will decide and we will accept their verdict, you know. So he, this brother, says, I'm a very close friend of that family there and they're very upright. I know them personally, all these things. So he, the friend, says that they are going to celebrate Eid today. I said, it's the right thing. If they convinced that they saw the moon and they were 4 or 5 and what have you, so he said, right, they must celebrate Eid today, Wednesday. He says, no, I also want to make with them. I said, fine, if you are convinced, then you make Eid, there's no problem in that. And then I received last night also, from South African, Southern African the Moon Authority or something, SEMSA. You understand? They call themselves SEMSA. So anyway, they say, and they put it, I'll send it out today to everybody. You see, in life, this is my stance always. We must have academic honesty, intellectual honesty. We don't have to lie. We must give the story as it is, without currying favor with anybody. They say on their letterhead, and it's one person's name is there, some Kasim or something. I don't know that person. They say 8 people, all like seen from Johannesburg area, saw the moon last night, and they all took an oath. So they say, this brother told me last night to phone me, quarter to 10, 10 to 10, that they contacted the Jamiat Forsberg. This is what he told me. He says they told him, you know who's the spokesperson and all. So they told him, no, you didn't see the moon, you saw Jupiter, you see. They say, hey, we saw the moon, we didn't see Jupiter, but they didn't accept it. So that is the whole story from the horse's mouth, okay? So anyway, our stance will be, we will celebrate Eid tomorrow. I'm here in Komati Perth. I'm fasting today and everything. And you in Gauteng, your time is up already, long time now. Normally I announce it. So anyway, so that is where we stand. So if anybody, you see, this whole story of unity, it doesn't work in South Africa. No, 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 we must have unity. Your 80-90% of Arabs don't believe you. So they're going to follow Saudi, and that I don't agree with the Saudi stance, but anyway, that is the truth. Your Somali brothers and all of them, majority, they don't believe you. So they're going to follow, they're going to do Eid today. You take so many foreigners and so, you go to Cape Town, I know of so many people, Malay brothers and so forth, they make Eid today. So you must remember, so this whole story of no, we must have unity and all, it's just a hollow thing, remember that. Hazrat Maulana Ahmad Sadiq Desai Sahib, Hafizahullah, he told me, Hazrat Maulana now is 84 years old, and that is Gregorian calendar, and 84, he's going to 86 years plus minus, Islamically. I just met him recently when I was in PE, before Ramadan. Nevertheless, so not this time, previously, he told me whilst he was studying in Jalalabad, the news came from Dioban. They had fell Eid here. Now, the day before, the night before, the news came, we saw the moon does that in Dioban, and you know, Eid Mubarak. So, Hazraji Nawwar Allah Marqadahu, most of you know, Muhammad Kareem, I'm sure you met Hazraji. So, Hazrat Muhammad Siullah Khan Sahib told them, Aapku Eid Mubarak, and so forth, but we not making Eid tomorrow. We are not convinced that what you are saying, and so forth, so we will make Eid the next day. Now, if you know, we've been to all these places. Where is Jalalabad? Where is Dioban? And so forth. What I'm trying to say, we must always try and follow the truth. So our fatwa and verdict will be, if any person in South Africa, you want to make Eid today, I'm making Eid tomorrow, right? I have to lecture and khutbah and all the salat and whatever, ye in Komati. But if any person says, there are 8 people who took an oath, and they say that you must remember they saw the moon and so forth, and you convince, so fine, make your Eid. You get your imam and make your Eid. It's Kabul. Nobody can tell you your Eid Salat is not valid. It's valid. There's no problem with that. The 80-90% of the world is celebrating Eid today. So we need to be honest, remember, and not be trying to play politics and, you know, come with us a story of unity and harmony and all that. In Islam, it don't work. So we have to always follow the truth. Next one is this, that remember tomorrow, our Mawla Salim Kareem, Hafizahullah, Jazakumullah Khairan Mawlana, from the bottom of my heart to you, to your family, that we're giving Mawlana off tomorrow. I told him, no, Mawlana, you are very busy on Eid day, so Mawla Salim Kareem will not be on. So Junaid Mota and myself, our Junaid Khan, we discussed it before we came on air. And then tomorrow's program for us, Markaz Sahaba, we will start 4 o'clock. And inshallah, Hazrat Maulana Yunus Patel will give nasiha regarding Eid al-Fitr and so forth and so on. And then I will come on. And then 4:30, right up to 5:15, 5:20, as normal, we'll do tafsir. And thereafter, we will do the news, views, and interviews. And then we will do the question and answers and so forth. that for tomorrow, and then from Friday, everything will be back to normal. Our Muslim Kareem will be back on, so wherever you are. So if you're celebrating Eid today, Alhamdulillah, taqabbalallahu minna wa minkum. May Almighty Allah accept our good deeds. May Almighty Allah accept your good deeds. Hadith in Bayhaqi and Sahaba radiallahu anhu were also saying this on Eid day, as mentioned in Fathul Bari, one of the greatest commentaries one can say on Bukhari Sharif by Ibn Hajar Asqalani rahimahullah. And if you're celebrating Eid tomorrow, like I'm celebrating Eid tomorrow, our family is here, everybody's making Eid tomorrow, and they expect me to do everything, so I'll make Eid tomorrow also, inshallah, in Masjid Usman. This masjid was established in 2002, and I had to do the opening, and there was a nikah and a lot of stories. So Allah Jalla wa Ala bless everybody, wherever you are. You're celebrating Eid today, mashallah. You're celebrating Eid tomorrow, mashallah. تقبل الله منا ومنكم. Maulana, I'm jumping in the car now. So from here to the masjid, maybe you can fire up 2-3 questions. And then inshallah, we'll carry on at 20 to 6. Inshallahul Aziz.
Jazakallah, Mufti Sahib. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you afiyat. And I love the clarity and inshallah, the beautiful fatwa and explanation to the ummah in South Africa. That alhamdulillah, those who feel that they saw the moon, and as Mufti Sahib gave you the ruling, if they're making Eid today and they read their Eid Salah, Nurun ala Nur, Allah Ta'ala accept. But alhamdulillah, for us, tomorrow is Eid al-Fitr. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us afiyat. Allah Ta'ala grant us love and muhabbat, because the day of Eid is a day of forgiveness. It's the day of asking Allah Ta'ala for unifying the Ummah, inshallah, accepting our amals. Mufti Sahib, if you can hear me on the radio as we drive to the masjid.
I hear you loud and clear, Maulana. This Hafiz Muhammad is here with me, and Hafiz Musab, they both Damat Barakatum. They look like Busruks. They got the Dajjar uniform on. You know, Dajjar got white uniform, and it's 100% specifications. Gee, let's carry on.
Mufti Sahib, do I pay zakat on my pension account? Please, Mufti Sahib, explain. Do I pay zakat on my pension account?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Does one pay zakat on your pension account? Yes, you will pay zakat on your pension account if the pension was voluntarily. So you went, you took out your understand pension plan or whatever else you want to call it voluntarily, then you have to pay zakat on it. However, if it was something that is, you must remember, imposed upon you by the company you are working and so forth, so in a case like that, then you won't pay zakat on it, and you will then, inshallah, when you receive your payout, then only the zakat will be compulsory. That is the fatwa regarding pension and retirement and all these other things.
Mufti Sahib, all the people accepting Islam by Brother Ibrahim Anderson, who follows up with them? I want to know, making a person a Muslim is easy, but the follow-up is what counts, Mufti Sahib.
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, you are right to a certain extent. When you get married, who follows up that the nikah will be 100% successful? So you get married and then finish, you must remember that. So we tell them the last one was in Port Edward or wherever. So I sent to them the address, and I spoke to Ibrahim Anderson myself. I told him that, see, that there are these ladies or what have you, that they want to meet those ladies, and they'll give them whatever they require. So you must then just make and liaise with them and so forth. So it's not that we are irresponsible, you know, as you are alleging or something. So you must remember, we also responsible, but we will never agree with this, what people say, that no, you mustn't make people Muslim because they won't practice Islam. I'm asking you, today in South Africa, today in Africa, today in the Arab world, 80% of the Muslim Ummah do not read 5 daily salat. So what are you going to say? These are born Muslims. Next week, go to your masjid. You must remember, today is Wednesday. Go next week, Wednesday, Fajr time to your masjid and see. I can count how many cars here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 cars here. So you must remember, Komatipur is a small place. Come here next week, Wednesday, and see. If you find three cars, you'll be lucky also. So remember that the Ummah today, 80-90% don't read. So if non-Muslims are not practicing, that does not mean that you must not make them Muslim. Inshallah, Allah Ta'ala will give them hidayat as well. One more question, Mulan.
Which halal organization should a person follow, as there are so many at the moment?
If you're asking me, I don't have confidence in any one of them. Everybody knows my story, that they are not yu'minuna bil ghaib. They don't believe in the unseen. They believe in yu'minuna bil jayb. How we can use Islam to call our prophet. And it is a money-making gimmick. It's for scholars for dollars. Assalamu alaikum.